Today we come to the third part about the consideration of faith and practices. And though there are very, very challenging things that we must consider, we must be moved within our hearts to look at the value of our faith, the potential development of our faith, and find a motivation somehow to look at how we can achieve the goals that we set up for ourselves as people who are Sunday school students. But let's consider what we want to do. First, obviously, is to find a genuine faith. Right? This is something that we don't want to take for granted. If you are not sure about the genuineness of faith, it is really worthwhile. Talk to each other, talk to your Sunday school teachers, ask them, how can we find this genuine faith? That's the first goal. The second goal would be how to grow this faith. And this is not something that we take for, want to take for granted. A faith that we have that is genuine, that is invaluable, must grow. Anything that we consider of value must see us desire to grow that faith. And of course, our ultimate goal is to find that this faith becomes a great faith, commended by the Lord Himself. Now, these are worthy goals to have in Sunday school as students. But we obviously have to face the fact that great faith isn't grown easily. So the old saying, good things just don't grow on trees easily. Well, it's the same here. Great faith will not come by easily. And so the challenge is to deal with the things that could hinder the development and growth of our faith. And the Gospel of Matthew outlines the things that actually hinder the development of our faith. For example, if we have wrong teachings, the wrong teachings may be inside us, it may be embedded inside us, but if these wrong teachings are allowed to continue, they will hinder our faith. And so wrong teachings must be dealt with summarily, effectively, gotten rid of. Then can we have a chance to develop something significant. Wrong teachings are like weeds. You don't grow weeds, but they will come. They'll float in the air, the seeds will grow in the garden, and the best kind of grass will have a weed problem. Weeds must be taken out very, very often, or the grass will not grow. And if we're not careful, weeds will take over the whole garden. But that is the nature of weeds. It will grow. Same with wrong teachings. It will just keep growing. And it can overwhelm. Then, of course, there is a problem of wrong practices. And when wrong practices are not dealt with, are not looked into carefully, it becomes a problem. And wrong practices can carry on with the rest of life. And we will imagine that we are doing it right, but we are in fact wrong. And so it was with in Israel in those days. Wrong understanding of fasting, wrong practice. Wrong practice of giving alms, wrong practice of praying. All these things were just problematic. And with the wrong practices, the faith of the nation, the faith of the average individual was obviously affected. What was needed? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to correct wrong practices, wrong ideas, wrong teachings. Now, nobody likes to be corrected. Everybody prefers to be commended. But that's not going to happen easily. Wrong teachings, wrong practices, they must be addressed, no matter how painful they may be. If they are not corrected, they will affect the growth of our faith, and we will never end up with a great faith. That could well be the problem. We have not responded as well to the need for correction. And so our faith in the long run gets affected severely, adversely. And so, of course, once we start on something good and something right, the challenge, of course, is to make sure that we practice all those things consistently. If we do not practice consistently our knowledge, our faith, then we will find that it will come back to the same problem. We're still not growing our faith at all very much. Right? And so today we come to the third part. This is found in Matthew chapter 7. And one of the big problems that existed in the early days is to look at this problem we call judgmentalism. Now, in chapter 7 of Matthew, and this is very often misquoted, misread, and the Lord Jesus Christ was said, told the disciples, and this is what we read, "Judge not that you be not judged." And many people take this mean to say that we cannot judge. This is not what it means at all. In fact, every day we judge. We judge how we comb our hair. We judge what clothes we want to put on. We judge, in other words, we make critical decisions. This is not a problem. We have to decide every day what we want to do with each day, where our emphasis is, what our priorities are. That is a call for judgment. But this is not judgmentalism. We choose our friends, we choose the path, we choose our careers, we choose everything. And every choice requires judgment. This is not what Jesus is talking about. It is the problem of judgmentalism. And this is something that we need to look at very, very, very much. What does it mean? Okay. For example, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, whatever we want to apply as our basis of judging any situation, anything, that same measure will be used against us. This is where we have fair practice. Right? So we cannot take two standards, apply one to ourselves, apply the same one, but apply another one to somebody else. Well, here is the underlying problem in verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Now, this is an intended exaggeration. A plank is a big thing. A speck is a tiny bit of dust. And so he is looking at people who can find fault in small things here and there in other people's lives. But they are blind to their own major faults in their life. This is judgmentalism. When we see other people, they are not praying, and we look at our lives and we are the same, but we criticize people. One day the story was told of a man who came at Easter and he said to the pastor, "How come you always speak about the resurrection? Last time I came, you also spoke about the resurrection." Well, he can criticize the pastor because he comes only once a year at Easter. And Easter is about the resurrection, so he hears the message about the resurrection. The rest of the year, he doesn't attend, and he criticizes. Well, this is an example of how that works. The danger is one of hypocrisy in verse 5. The hypocrisy that Jesus is talking about is one where we do not remove the problems in our own life first. And then we want to attempt to deal with the problems of other people. This is not how it should be. And once we have a judgmental, critical attitude towards other people, we are going to end up all the time being critical, being condemnatory, putting people down, and we feel right about what we are doing when we are in fact guilty of the same or similar types of sin. Hypocrisy is when we see faults in others and we fail to see in ourselves the sins that need to be dealt with. And hypocrisy will never help our faith to grow in any way significantly. We will never be able to have a good faith, let alone a great one. And so we must ask ourselves what we must do. First, remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And this is a word of warning that the Lord Jesus Christ gave towards this. In verse 6, he said, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs." Of course you can't. You've got a Bible to a dog. What would a dog do with it? He wouldn't know what to do with it. Or you have pearls, costly pearls, and you throw them before swine. What would the pigs know about pearls? They will trample them under their feet. And if you go and try and retrieve the pearls from them, they will think that you're trying to steal their food, and they will rend you to pieces. Then they will attack you. See, this is a problem. We must learn how to appreciate the faith that God has given to us. We must appreciate what God has given to us. What God has given to us is something good and holy. The scriptures are good and holy. The faith that we have is from God and it is good and holy. We must not allow ourselves to take them for granted. If we prove that we are no better than animals, we don't know how to appreciate the value of what is given to us, then the things which could develop our faith will never be given to us. We will not be able to grow our faith in any significant way. And so when we want to develop our faith properly, we must ask ourselves what we are given. The Holy Scriptures, give it respect. The faith that we have, give it honor. Give it every good regard that you can possibly find within your heart. And there you will be able to cultivate your faith so much more significantly. Right? So beware of the things that can go wrong. It could be our heart's attitude. It could be our approach. It could be that we have hypocrisy. It could be that we are judgmental. All these things will tell us that we are insensitive to the scriptures, to the faith that we have given, to the Lord God who gives to us this challenge to cultivate our faith. Right? So this is another practice that must be dealt with. Wrong practices must always be addressed immediately and resolved summarily. Now, here is another problem that the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with. Now, he's already spoken about this earlier. And he has to deal with this again. And this is important, right? So, how to appreciate this? In Matthew 6, he told them how not to pray, right? So, he says, do not pray like a hypocrite, wanting to be seen as prayerful, but actually you're not. Right? The phrase is, do not pray vain repetitions like the heathen. The word heathen should really not be the best word to use. The word literally is simply the Gentiles. In other words, the non-believers at that point of time. Right? So as we think about it, what it really, really means is that we must learn how to deal with the problem of the lack of prayer practice. We must learn how to pray better. And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught them how to use the Lord's Prayer, how to pray to God as Father, how to hallow the Lord's name, how to pray about God's will, how to pray about God's kingdom, how to give thanks to God as we conclude praying. The challenge is to put into practice. Right? Now, that was what we read or what we studied some time back now. Question is, Have you improved your prayer life? How is your prayer practice? Now, in Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus Christ addressed another aspect of prayer. Right? And so in Matthew 7 and verse 7, we read these words. And he said, "Do encourage them. Ask, and it will be given to you." Some things are just simply for our asking. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, ask. I think to all who are students, we all need that extra bit of grace to study. Exams are coming. Home learning is not easy. Preparing to go back to school. There are the fears of catching the COVID-19 virus and so on and so forth. What do we need to do? The Lord Jesus Christ said, ask. When he said to them, be assured it will be given to you. But there are times when certain things cannot just simply be asked. It must be sought, such as wisdom. Wisdom is not merely for asking. It must be sought. And we read this in Proverbs 2. It must be sought as people will seek silver. It must be sought as people search for hidden treasures. And if we don't seek, neither would we find. So there are simple things for which we can pray. But there are harder things that we can look at. So as students, if we want to merely pass, we could ask, Lord, help me pass. And the Lord would grant his grace. But if we want to say, Lord, you know, I want to do well, that may not be a simple matter of asking. It is a matter of seeking. And this is something that we want to consider. So certain things that we ask for may require us to seek God further. Don't take this for granted. And then, of course, there's a third level. And the third level is knocking. So if we want to look for a great faith, it will not be simply merely asked for and given. It will not be merely sought after and then given. It could well be something we knock at. And the door of great faith will not open unless we knock. And sometimes we have to knock insistently until the door opens. That is the challenge of it all. The question is, as we pray, do we really believe that God will answer? And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, to encourage them, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. This is something that we must ask ourselves whether we believe in at all. And if so, how do we actually practice it in our life? And so the Lord Jesus Christ went on further to tell them. And he illustrated in this way. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, the father will give him a stone? The answer is no thinking father, no sane father would do that. Or if he were to ask for a fish, he will give him a serpent. Even if a person is a non-believer, any ordinary father would not do that to his own son. He will give as the best he can give. If he asks for bread, he will give bread. If he asks for fish, he will do his best to give the fish. Right? So then Jesus went on further. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, note this argument. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is what God will do. In the language of the of Gospel of Luke, how much more will the Father give even the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's the best thing we could ask for. And so the challenge is, what is the problem that we have? that we don't practice prayer much? Is it a problem of unbelief? Is it a problem of we don't really, really believe that trust that God will hear and answer our prayer? We must look at some of these things here. Because if we do not resolve the problem of praying, we will not find that we will achieve a great goal of having a great and wonderful faith. And this is something that we want to consider. See, that the practice of it all is obviously there. Right? So the challenge of it all is a practice. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. See, the challenge basically is to practice what we believe in. If we believe in the things which are good, then we must practice it. If we desire something, we must practice it too. If we believe in prayer, if we believe God hears and He answers prayer, then obviously we must continue to pray, to ask, to seek, to knock. And God will appropriately answer. This is a basic teaching of the law and the prophets. So Jesus is trying to establish that what He is actually teaching is not just peculiar to Him teaching. It is simply a general truth that is stated all over the scriptures, in the law and the prophets, in the writings of Moses, in the writings of the prophets. And it will bear the same thing. Right? And so this is something that we are challenged to consider. In other words, we must put into practice what we believe in. In every aspect of our life, we must consider practicing those things. Now, here is the difficult part of it all, perhaps. And this is something that we want to take a look at. And as we come to the last part in Matthew 7, and so in verse 13 and 14, Jesus tells them, and this is probably the hardest thing to do. And He said, "Enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it." You see, for many people, religion is whichever is the most convenient. Whatever you wish to find. And so we have people who will relax the rules, who will relax the regulation, who will tell you it's all right. If you want to pray, it's okay. If you don't want to pray, it's just as good. And as long as we take that approach, this is what Jesus warns about. This is where the wide gate is. Many will walk in. No problem. Broad is the way, but what is it leading to? And the Lord Jesus Christ He tells us very, very clearly, it is going to be destruction. And so when He came to earth and He began to teach all these things, you read Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. Why did He have to address all the problems? Because all those things were ignored by people generally. Right? So false practices continued, wrong teachings were not addressed, people couldn't be bothered, and they still appeared to be religious. They like to feel that they're good. They like to feel that they're okay with God, when the reverse is true. It is not okay with God to let things continue to slide that way. That is not the way to go at all. What is the challenge of it all? And this is very, very important. The challenge is to go enter in by the narrow gate. And Jesus represents the narrow gate. And it is not an easy gate to go into. So here is a broad gate and it's easy to go there. And here is a small gate. And it is called the narrow gate. And then He went on further to describe the way, what is the narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. And the word difficult is the word that we have, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a tribulation road. It is going to be a road that has got many difficulties. right? It is difficult to learn how to pray. It is difficult to walk the way of the Lord. It is difficult to do the thing that Jesus talked about, to practice the Beatitudes, for example. All these things are indeed difficult, no question about it. But what is our challenge? And our challenge is simply that it is true. And we are going to do these things because it's true, because it's good. Few may seek to walk this path. Few may find it. But, you know, it is worth it all because it will lead to life. Eternal life with God. And the challenge is obviously there. That's the Lord Jesus Christ represented it, as the Lord Jesus Christ taught it. See, there were many people who followed Jesus. But they followed Jesus because they were fed. They followed Jesus because they wanted to be healed. They wanted to follow Jesus because they had members or friends in a family and they were demon-possessed. And nobody has the power and the authority to help them as Jesus did. So they followed Jesus. But when it comes to practice of prayer, development of faith, following Jesus, giving up the ways of the world, very few people walk that path. And so always there would only be a small handful. Out of the thousands, there was a group of 70, there was a group of women disciples, and there was a small group of 12, and it will always be the case. The challenge to follow the path of Jesus that he walked on is the path of faith. It's a path where a lot of times we have to be corrected, we have to be cleansed, we have to consistently put into practice what he teaches. That path is very often a very narrow path, a difficult path. But very few people want to go that path. See, this is the path of people who do well in school. They have to give up a lot of friendships, a lot of parties. They have to give up many things. But when they give up these things, and they spend their time studying instead, these are the ones who will actually do very well. They may not be as popular, people may call them names, but at the end of their studies, these are the ones who will excel, and they will be the ones who will do well in their school and perhaps later in their life. This was the path that the Apostle Peter took as well. Let's remember this. As we read 1 and 2 Peter, we see a corrected Apostle Peter. We see an apostle who was wrong, who was corrected, who was challenged again and again to give up wrong practices, wrong instructions, wrong ideas, wrong teachings, and now he was changed. The person who wrote 1 and 2 Peter was an outstanding man of faith. This was a man of courage who was not afraid to confront himself, to address the things that were wrong in his life. This man became a man of conviction. He became a man of God. He became a channel of blessing. And this is what we want to consider as well. So as we take a time to review what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we begin to realize that there are many, many areas in our life that perhaps we need to address, right? So quickly, as we take a look at Matthew 5 again, we have to ask ourselves, seriously, are we truly as blessed as Jesus said we should be? So we look at the Beatitude in chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how we ought to be salt and how we ought to be light. Are we salt? Are we light? Ponder these challenges. And the Lord Jesus Christ, again, had to address many, many wrong teachings. And he tells them that only when we address our wrong teachings and make good, that we can become sons of our Father in heaven. And this is what the Lord wants us to be. And so Jesus addressed problem after problem. He talked to them about hypocrisy. He talked to them about wrong practices. He teaches them how not to worry, but to turn everything into prayer instead. And if they were to understand and appreciate the faith, the path that Jesus was actually crafting out for them, they must then make a choice. Will they choose to walk in this path? And if the answer is yes, they will want to choose this path. You will find that it will be through a narrow gate. And it will be through a difficult way. But those who will walk there will find that they have made the best choice. They have made a choice where they will see their faith grow significantly. And one day, that faith will become great faith. Let us be greatly challenged in our hearts to find that faith in the Lord. It's worth every bit of energy that we can put in. Let's be challenged to cultivate a great faith and life that will bring honor and glory to the Lord and a blessing to our family and to our friends. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to examine our faith, examine our hearts, to examine our practices, and where there are things which are obviously wrong, help us to find the courage to address them and to make sure that these things do not affect our lives adversely. So we pray that you will teach us to be sensitive, to be able to respond appropriately to what we hear, to what we read, to what we discuss. We pray that you would teach us how we can cultivate ultimately a significant faith that will honor you and be a blessing to other people. We ask you to continue to teach us deeply. Help us to respond as we should, from our heart, with our very soul, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk the path that he walked on. We pray in Jesus' name.